10 Mobile, stand by.
Net tonight at 8:30. This is the WQVL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club Repeater System, node number 9126 on the New England Reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club Repeater System, node number 9126 on the New England Reflector.
Link active.
Depending upon how it tracks, anything in my area from a dusting to six plus, they said. Now, that's a very accurate forecast. Why does this might not say from nothing to 12 inches? That'll cover the bases. Oh, so you're even more accurate. I'm a trained weather spotter. Don't you love how accurately the weather forecasts are? You know something? I don't mind if they're wrong, as long as they're wrong on the nothing side. Yes, indeed. At this time of year, I'll take another 20 degrees. Well, if it's gonna snow, we're better off with having it very cold. That way we get the light granular stuff. It's easier to get rid of than the wet, heavy stuff that'll come around 30 degrees. Dude, don't I know it. I live at the mouth of the Housatonic River, and, about 1 mile, actually not quite the mouth, but about a mile up from the coast. And we get nothing but wet snow. Go inland 10 miles, and it's a totally different snow. WA1S. Well, a friend of mine said he was going to run his snowblower dry. I said, don't do it yet, please. I've had mine repaired right before the forecast of the last decent snow, so I'm okay. So we got a chance we might not get anything because I convinced them not to run it dry. Roger, that's why people carry an umbrella during sunny days to ward off rain. Yeah, I leave one of those small collapsible ones in my briefcase. So what no good were you up to this weekend? It was a fairly lazy day. My wife had me doing some decorating things around the house, you know, hanging window treatments, hanging a mirror in the living room, that kind of stuff. Oh, we bought a nice little piece of carpeting for the living room, you know, a rug. So that had to be put in position and the furniture put on it. The usual honeydew stuff. Yes, sir. Part of nesting, I guess. Yeah, the window treatment stuff was a pain in the neck because we weren't talking about blinds or shades or anything like that. Those were already up. We had to put up the valance now, which was material on these special swag hooks and things like that. And, you know, mounting the hooks wasn't hard. Getting that material the way it's supposed to be done is a royal pain. Okay. I'm not familiar with that. We have some valances that are made of plywood, among other things. And they were designed to just hook on to two hooks and hang there. Yes, but that's a traditional valance. If she had gone for that, that would have been nice and simple and easy to do. This, on one of the windows, I ended up putting up five brackets going across the top. And there's no structure between the brackets. It's just material. And the material has to be draped in between the brackets. And it creates, this is not my word, this is the word on the bracket card, a poof at each one of the brackets. So it looks like nice when it's up, but boy, is it a pain in the neck to do. That's why men don't do poofies. Yeah, but my wife ain't getting on the ladder to do it, so I got to do the poofies. And this was the dry run. I'm going to have to take everything down except the brackets because I decided we're painting the room. Let me get these brackets in place and see how this goes before we paint the room. SMH. I have to step away for about 45 seconds. I'll be back. WA1SMH. WA1SFH and 2ZEP standing by. WA1SFH back. And N2ZEP still here. No, you're not. You've traveled a distance, so you're there now. What does all this mean to me? It means the two of us get to say hello to you, Rich. N2PPN, N2ZEP, you hand it off to WA1SFH. Okay. I guess. Whatever. Still don't know what this all means to me, but that's okay. N2PPN Mobile. SFH. Over to you. Good morning. It's a lovely day in the neighborhood, and the answer is 42. Over to ZEP. He's up in Milford, Connecticut, so he's got a little different answer than we would have down here, Rich. So, according to the bid strips the other day, you just wanted to just hang out in bed. I guess you're not familiar with that song by, I believe it's Bruno Mars. So, yeah, that's just what I wanted to do. I just wanted to lay in my bed. Didn't feel like picking up the phone, just leave a message at the tone, because today I don't feel like doing anything. West Milford, Connecticut, huh? Wow. That explains it all. Oh, you're so kind. Name here is Douglas, and Milford, Connecticut is that void on the coast between Bridgeport and New Haven. Hey, Rich, do you get the feeling that Doug is not very fond of Milford, Connecticut? Do you get the feeling that the geographical location of Milford, Connecticut, on the coastline of Connecticut, is not very high on my priority list? I get that impression. I don't know why, but I think I do. Doug, I'm sure you've spoken to Rich before, so you know that he's just a glorious ray of sunshine in the morning. Rich? If you say so, Gary, I wouldn't want you to, you know, embellish anything on my behalf, you know. Just tell it like it is, you know. Don't sugarcoat it or anything. Well, you know, gentlemen, there are two types of people in this world. Those who jump out of bed and say, good morning, God, and those who roll over and say, good God, it's morning. I'm getting to the age where I put my hand to the right, the other hand to the left, both hands in front of me, and if I don't feel wood, I open up the eyes. No, if I feel wood in the morning, I'm usually pretty happy. QR6 Puppies, WA1SFH. So, Rich, I'm just passing Lakeville Road. Where are you? You got me today. Today, I guess I needed to perform some extra lengthy grooming rituals. And, got hung up a little bit. So, you know, I guess tomorrow I'll be a little bit more ahead of schedule than I am now. Although I'm still ahead of my old schedule, I just shifted everything up for, like, you know, daylight savings time. Yes. Shifting things up. Let's see. Yeah, it's going to be fun time here in Milford tonight at the Board of Ed meeting. They're doing some long-term planning, and they're their committee is reporting to the full board tonight, and there's a motion or the movement in town to shut down the two high schools and build one mega high school. Wouldn't that be a thrill to the taxpayers? WA1SMH.
Well, the debate will be which is cheaper in the long run, one principal and one united staff, and one physical building to maintain versus maintaining two separate buildings. You have to factor that against the cost of either renovating one of the two buildings and enlarging it, and selling off one, or knocking them both down and building one huge one. It's a numbers crunch game.
What about the students? What about the poor little children? Where will they be displaced to?
Already had that at the elementary level. This town is noted for its inability to do due diligence research, and they jump at the latest fad and spend a lot of money. WA1SMH.
I'm waiting for my town to realize in a few years when the community completely turns over that all those schools that they sold off, they're going to need, and where they're going to build new ones.
Well, you know, that's 2020 hindsight. You never sell off school buildings. You try to repurpose the buildings. If you can't repurpose the buildings, you lease them out on short-term leases so that when the demographics of the area change and now all of a sudden you've got more students than you can fit into their existing schools, you reclaim your old schools and put them back into service. But, hey, that would just, you know, be someone that does some proper prior planning. And not doing their due diligence, they're operating at the peak of efficiency for a model government. Doug, over to you and to PPN Mobile.
Yes, indeed, and you can't ask for more than that. I can tell you some stories here in this town, and I've only lived here 15 years. It's almost like a third world educational country. Backwater of education. What can I say? and their scores reflect that. But on to happier things. I discovered the wilds of Westchester County, a place called Elmsford in Valhalla on Saturday, attending a Skywarn coordinators meeting, and that was a lot of fun. WA1SMH.
I haven't been involved officially with Skywarn in so long, I wonder if my spotter number is still legit. I also wonder where is my card with the spotter number if I ever needed it. Rich?
Pretty sure I remember where my card is, but Chicken Little hasn't been screaming that the sky is falling for quite some time, so I haven't bothered to, I guess, stay active. But if I put my extensive Skywarn training to use at this very moment, I can see that there's overwhelming amount of darkness which should be followed by widely scattered light.
Thank you, George Carlin, on the AMFM album of 19... What was it? Anyway. Yes, in fact, I'm just getting into Skywarn a lot more actively, but when they're having the net, I'm usually on the road, so I check in and give them the full weather report. It's dark. I have a relative wind of 72 miles an hour. Can't tell what the temperature or barometer readings are, but that's my report, and I'm sticking to it. WA1, that's it.
Well, relative wind speed of 72 miles an hour. I wouldn't advertise that too much because someone might be assuming you're driving exceeding the local speed limit. Rich?
He didn't say that that was on residential streets. And the outside air temperature at this relative wind speed is 23 degrees on your big board, as measured by a highly sophisticated type K thermocouple. But anyway, I digress. So this weekend was chock full of dishwasher excitement at my house, Gary. Chock full. I just don't know what to do with myself. It was just so exciting. Still around you. You will have to tell us, Rich. Over to you, Gary.
I'm trying to figure out, did the old one break or did he buy a new one in advance? Which one it was? Let's see. I'm going to say the old one didn't work, so he had to start taking apart the entire kitchen to get the dishwasher out, because if I remember correctly, you can't get the dishwasher out without lifting the countertop, which is nice and heavy because it's stone. Rich?
I certainly hope that that's not the way your dishwasher goes into your kitchen cabinetry, because dishwashers are supposed to slide in and slide out. There's not supposed to be any lifting involved. Now, we noticed a water leak and had to track it down. Once I tracked down the culprit, I discovered that the replacement fill valve seems to be made of unobtainium. Everybody shows them in stock all over the internet, but nobody could get one here faster than a week. So, I tried a makeshift repair, which failed, and I'm just out of service, so everybody in my household is going to be learning how to wash dishes the old-fashioned way, by using paper plates.
Comment. I love it. Oh, dear. I'm sorry for your troubles, Rich. It's no fun, I know. They're supposed to be slide-ins unless you have, that's if you have a standard height counter. Unfortunately, my wife and I are taller than standard height people, so we actually raised ours 6 inches, and we had to block up, block up the dishwasher to meet the lower section of the underneath part of the countertop. WA1SFH.
Rich, didn't you tell me that your countertop had to be removed to get the dishwasher in, or was that the washing machine? I don't remember which one it was. You had something that you had to lift up that countertop. Mine slides in and out.
Washing machine has the 200-pound granite countertop sitting on top of it, which just has to get picked up and pulled out so you can get at the washing machine. Although you could just slide the washing machine out from under the countertop. That's also been designed that way as well. But, yeah, for some strange reason or another, the fill valve has developed a leak, and I don't know if it's a hairline crack from pressure or something else, because because I could not find anything on it to indicate where the leak was coming from, but I also have a full parts list of all the rubber parts, every rubber hose, every little rubber piece, and everything else that could possibly be aged to the point of being replaced, as well as the fill valve and other little parts and pieces. Plus, I took the whole darn thing apart and cleaned every part and piece of it, removed, interestingly enough, paper debris from inside the spray arms and the pump housing and other places. And once I get it back up and running, it'll operate as before, if not a little bit better. NQPPN Mobile. Doug, pass the paper plates.
Yes, sir. And the plastic utensils will follow shortly after. Let's see. So, as a matter of fact, I got to jump out of here and check the wood burning stove. I loaded it up and set the throttle a little rich, so I think I need to fine-tune it a little bit. I'll be back in a little bit. I'll be back in a short bit. Over to you, Gary. This is WA1SNH.
WA1SNH and the group, SFH and the group N2ZEP. I'm doing the crossover between the Grand Central and the LIE now, Rich. The LIE is a bit sluggish, but it's typical for this hour of the morning. So you found paper all over the inside of the dishwasher. Could that be the fact that they're washing the paper plates in the dishwasher?
No, I suspect that short of a napkin, you know, a paper napkin falling into the dishwasher at some point in its life, or those little stick-on labels, you know, price tags and whatnot from various items over the years getting washed off of dishes, plates, glasses, or whatnot because they weren't removed when they were prior to them getting placed in the dishwasher. That's where I'm figuring this stuff came from. It was very strange to find it in there, but I found it in there. I mean, the dishwasher is made to be serviced. It's quite interesting. Everything does easily come apart, get removed, opened up for cleaning and whatnot. So, it's not that hard a job to do. It needed to be done, but I never knew it needed to be done. It was like one of those things. So maybe now the dishwasher will actually even work a little better. But my big thing is to just get this water leak taken care of, because I'm 99.9% sure it's coming from the fill valve, because that's the location it's dripping from, and when I turn it on its side and repressurize, I get drips from the fill valve, but I can't see where it's coming from.
A1SFH is back.
I thought you were Doug. Welcome back, Doug. Well, welcome, Doug, back. You know, of course, Rich, you're going to get this brand new fill valve, wait a week for it, install it next weekend, and you're going to still have a drip. That's what's going to happen. Doug, what do you think?
So, actually, it's over to Rich. So, it's over to Rich, but that's beside the point. Gary, that is indeed a potential possibility. That is one of the many scenarios that could play.
Oh, hello.
You know, that could play out, but since I'm also going to be getting all the rubber hoses and other things that could possibly and potentially be old and tired underneath there, I feel that I should be able to solve this problem.
So we'll see what happens. Only time will tell. I'm hopefully going to find a supply house in Brooklyn who I was not able to telephone on Saturday and see if they have the parts and pieces with me, and then I'll just go stop off on my way home and pick them up, and I'll do the repair this evening. If not, then as soon as I get home, I'll order all the parts up, and I may even spring for express shipping. Doug?
Express shipping? Oh, dear. I hope it doesn't have to get to that level. More paper plates. I checked the wood burning stove, and, you know, I really wish they'd installed a little bit more precise instrument where they installed, if they installed a vernier air control system like you find in small aircraft. That would make me very happy, but no, it's a very gross system, and you have to, there's an art to setting the air intake to get the best exhaust gas temperatures coming out. So, with a very crude system. Oh well. Over to you, Gary, WA1SFH.
Well, I'm looking forward to allowing my boiler to go dormant for the summer, except for making hot water. That would be pleasant. Cut down on the oil usage. Rich?
Yeah. Then I can go and, you know, take a trip over to the local fuel station and pick up 20 gallons of diesel and just top off the tank so that it'll be ready for next winter, you know, ready to go. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, but they said that this should be the last gasp. And who knows, maybe Kramer will actually get to run his plow one last time this snowstorm.
Yes. We'll see what happens. You know, we're already, what is it, the 24th of March, so another couple weeks, but, you know, when I was growing up in very close to Armonk, New York, in Greenwich, we used to have a saying, we don't take the studded snow tires off until May 5th. Down here on the coast, life is easier. Over to you, Gary.
Well, I won't run the snowblower dry until sometime in April to play it safe. Another couple of weeks minimum before I even think of doing that.
You're one of those who subscribe to running it dry, Gary, I guess. There's two schools of thought on that particular action, and I guess you subscribe to the dry method, because you must like it dry. Myself, I've always preferred it wet, so that's just my personal preference. Doc, how do you like it, wet or dry?
I like my martinis very dry, thank you. Over to you, Gary.
Now, with the alcohol in the gasoline mixes that we buy nowadays, even if you throw stable in, you could get gum in that fuel line, and it's a real pain in the neck to get that clear. So I run them dry. I've had a fuel line break on me and dump gasoline on the floor of the garage.
QASS.
Speaking of dumping gasoline on the floor of your garage, Gregory, why don't you take a turn and you can pass it to Doug. Connecticut Doug. He's a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. So, why don't you tell us all about it, and did you finalize the details on that thing that we spoke about? And 2ASS. This is and 2DBN Mobile coming into the trench.
There's just a lot of work involved with that thing we were talking about. A lot of work. I'm probably still going to do it, so gas, wet or dry. You know, that's a tough one. Lately, I've been running stuff dry. But now that they came out with the better stable fuels for the ethanol, you know, it's weird. You run it dry, you take a chance on gaskets and seals drying up, and then you have a potential leak when you go for the next season. But lately, I've been running stuff dry because I hate this ethanol fuel. So I've been running it dry, and I'm taking the risk on the gaskets drying out. And that's that. And over to CT Doug. Don, Doug, whatever that was.
Good morning, Greg. I'm going to make this my last go-around. This is WA1 Smiling Friendly Ham, Douglas in Milford, Connecticut. So, gentlemen, have a great day, and I'll let you continue the question of dry or wet. I do belt and suspenders. I use a wonderful product called Pry-G, that's Papa Romeo India-G Gulf, and I add that to my last gas tank of the season, and then run that through as it runs dry. It actually is a restorative as well as preservative, so I do a belt and suspenders approach. Over to you, Gary. This is WA1SFH. 7-3, everybody. Clear.
Okay, I spent a lot of time at that Milford wreck.
73, Doug. Good morning, Greg. You know, it's been so long that we called you by your real name. I almost forgot it. Rich?
How could you forget Gregular? He's just a Gregular kind of guy.
Yesterday, on the way home from dropping off my son, Hal got on the radio to say hello, and he said, oh, you're on Comac Road. And he goes, I just left there. There was some kind of an estate sale with AM radio stuff. But no one told me where it was. But I totally missed that one. I didn't even hear anything about that. I don't know if you guys heard anything. I'm assuming it goes back to Steve.
To him.
Morning, Steve. Greg knew you were here before you even keyed up.
Yes, and good morning. Live from the viaduct, this is KP2EM, QM Mobile. Just checking in, had to put out some garbage. I'm a little tardy, but hope to make up some time.
Rich, I'm at the tunnel, so you rule the roost. 10-2-ZEP.
Reminds me. Hook was on with Robin Williams and Dustin Hoffman the other day, whatever, while I was playing with the dishwasher. Anyway, I'm telling you, Greg, they must have hid that one from you because they figured that you were going to show up over there. You know, they probably made sure that the second it was announced, it was squelched. It was stricken from the records, taken out of all of the newspapers. No ads, no penny saver, nothing. Just, they went dark, black ops on that whole estate sale. Steve, what's going on with you? How was your weekend? Did you get any, did you? And to PPN. Greg, over to you.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I totally missed that one. Didn't hear a word about it. Oh, well. And then I'm surprised that no one mentioned it to me. You know, where it was, I asked, where was it? No one told me anything. So, oh, well. But it was probably over by that time anyway. Skeevy, over to you. And in 1 minute, Pat Pagano's going to give his weather.
No, it was a quiet yet productive weekend. Sloane was with me. We went out east on Saturday. Beautiful day. Hit the Tanger outlets. Did some clothes shopping out there. Had a good day. And yesterday was more knocking around the house doing little projects. 6, place it to car a little bit, that kind of stuff. Progressively nasty yesterday compared to Saturday. So that's where we're at. 7-3 to Gary, subterranean. And Witchy had troubles with his dishwasher.
Yes, I did. I had dishwasher wobbles. No, I had a week. I had a week. Found where the week was coming from, and now it's just a matter of getting some replacement parts.
Skip me out for one round. Send it back over to Stevie.
Was it a get a gasket?
Surprisingly enough, you would have thought it would have been a hose that might have, you know, gotten old and tired and dried out. But it appears to be coming from the fill valve. The fill valve, for some strange reason or another, seems to have become porous. The solenoid actuator is, it seems to be coming from there. I can't pinpoint the exact place it's coming from. But very strange, very strange indeed. So I'm trying to locate parts locally real quick. Unfortunately, by the time I got the parts out and the parts numbers and stuff like that, most of the places were closed on Saturday because they close around 12:30. So I spent time on the internet looking for the parts and whatnot and discovered that while everybody has a lot of the parts in stock for me to replace the saw, you know, the fill valve and all the rubber hoses and stuff, nobody seems to be able to get the stuff to me faster than 7 days.
Trying to use for the dryer. They had a lot of those parts too. So, if you want, when I get back to the house this afternoon, I'll look it up. Or I'll try and look it up on, I don't know if I did it from work. No, I did it from the house. I got them in 3 days.
I mean, I'll do that tonight. If I can't find it local, I got a couple of places in Brooklyn, big places to try. I got, you know, phone numbers and whatnot, and I got my parts list with me. I'll give them a call. If I can swing by on my way home and pick up the stuff, I will. If I can't, then when I get home, I'll place the order, and I may even go for expedited shipping.
What type of machine is it? What model?
It's an old Jeep, and it wasn't the cheap one when we bought it. It was one of those high-end LGs, and I must say, it is quite serviceable. Everything is modular, and it is quite serviceable, and as long as parts are available, it can be maintained for quite some time. It's already probably close to, I don't know, 9, maybe 10 years old.
You guys getting ready for the boating season?
Getting ready for the snowstorm on Tuesday night?
I threw that little trickle charger on my truck just to make sure the batteries were good. And I guess the plow is on it. I don't think it's going to be much, but maybe they'll call me out for one last hurrah.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a lot out by you and kind of near over here.
Be good, because then I'll get the plow and it won't bother you too much.
Plowing never bothered me.
I know, we had a lot of snow though this year. Kind of annoyed a lot of people.
Right, so I went up to the Bronx yesterday.
Go on.
My aunt's up at Jacoby Hospital, so we went to visit her. She's hopefully getting transferred today to a place in Riverdale for her rehab and therapy. Remember the Thursday that we had that gigantic, you know, windstorm and rain and all that stuff?
Yeah.
She had a doc doctor's appointment or something. She lives up in Co-op City, and she went, was on her way, I guess, to the doctor, and she's got her shopping cart with her, and she's walking, and a big old gust of wind came and knocked her to the ground. She shattered her shoulder, broke her arm, and damaged her elbow. Big time. So she just had shoulder reconstruction, and you know, all the bones are set and fixed and whatnot now, and now she's got to go for some rehab. It's terrible. Oh, she's 90 years old, but she's a fighter. So she'll do all right. She's just got to work, that's all.
She's still able to get around. Like, can she still get herself up, you know, with a stroller in one arm or whatever she may have to do? Can she still move around? Or did this kind of, like, jam her up for a few months?
She was fully able to get around. I mean, she doesn't drive. She's never driven. But she was fully able to do everything for herself. You know, she was very independent and fully functional and everything else, and now she's just concerned that she might not be able to continue, you know, taking care of herself, and she might have to have somebody help her out. So just told her she's got to work as hard as you can, you know, to get yourself back to where you were. It's just a total freak thing that she got blown down by a gust of wind.
Yes, that's crazy.
TV and TPN.
Yes, well, hopefully she'll recover and continue to do that. It's kind of a rarity at that age, but more power to her if she can do it. We like hearing those stories where people take care of themselves at that age. Hard.
She's perfect. She's got no problems with, like, you know, the normal things. No problems with blood pressure, kidneys, lungs, eyesight, no osteoporosis. She's in great shape, you know? She's in great shape. She takes good care of herself. It's just that this thing was just a total freak. So, you know, she's just concerned that she's not going to have the mobility that she has. She's not going to have the full range of motion. They're saying she should get at least 80% back. Knowing her, she'll, you know, she's a fighter. She wants to get out of the hospital now. She's like, everybody's driving her crazy. She just wants to, like, you know, get out and start the therapy. But they had her on blood thinners because they were, you know, concerned about clots. So the incision sites and stuff like that are still a little weepy. So they want to make sure that all that stuff is under control before they release her for therapy.
Sounds like she's going to make it to over 100. She'll get through it. If he says she always took care of herself independent, she'll fight. She'll get through it. And probably by the summer, she'll be moving around on her own without a problem.
Have you asked her the secrets of her longevity?
I don't know. My father's sister, so I guess it could be genetic. I don't know. We'll find out. But she's the one that passed over. I would always go up to Co-op City, grab her up, and bring her back. So I think what we'll do is we'll do the same thing. If she's ambulatory, I'll snatch her up and bring her back after the honor. I may even see if I can convince her to stay for a day or so. You know, and she'll spend the holiday with us. And my cousin will just have to figure out how he's going to get into my house, and I want us to go and pick him up from Regal Park.
Kooky, Daddy, up. All right. Hopefully that works out. Anyway, getting back to that stormy stuff, it looks like you're looking at least 6 inches out there, tough guy. So what happens if you do have work in Nassau County and there's snow on the ground at your house? What takes precedence?
it's not good. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to be the one doing everything. I'll rather go here and relax. And I actually chose to go to the plowing. So that's what took precedent. And they know it now. But no, when they see snow on the ground, you know, it could be raining in Florida and they'll shut us down. It's been ridiculous lately. So if they see a little snow, they're going to close the whole thing in. That's the way it is. They don't care. They know you're not going to be as efficient as you would normally be. And they just shut you down. And everyone just deals with
it. I looked at the house before. It's not raining in Boca, but I think it's raining in the northern section. So that's the storm getting it back together.
Work with that thing that I was telling you about with the complaining about the non-working stuff. One down, one to go. So it did work.
Put your foot down, Greg. You can't let these guys just turn around and sit in the truck all day long while you're out there busting your hump.
It's very hard to fight something alone. You know, the if you don't have it, you know, that's no good. So, but things, like I said, one down, knocked back to his tools, and on a totally different area, working somewhere else. Very good. One to go.
There you go.
There it is, then.
I had some good news, I think it was Friday afternoon.
Bring it on.
My, old partner Rich, who lives over in Locknut City over there by Jib Lane's, got called up by Hawkeye to be a foreman. And he was like all excited and giddy. So he's on his way out, if he's not already out there, he's on his way out to Hopog this morning to go negotiate the terms of their surrender and pick up his vehicle and start on the project. He's doing, I think he said he was going to be doing an excavation and pipeline to the Rockaways, down Cross Bay Boulevard or something, all the way down to the Rockaways. So it sounds pretty cool. My signal too crappy to hear any of that?
No, we heard. We heard. That was, oh man. What's his name? At East. Enjoying retirement?
Donald? Who? To the Donald?
Donald, yes. How is he doing?
He's enjoying his retirement, but you know, it's like, you go, he tells me, you go from going to work every day and then, you know, having your weekends to do whatever you're going to do to not working every day, but now you got to go to the doctor, you got to go here, you got to go there. He says, it's nonstop.
So he basically wants to go back to work to relax. Well, listen, I always say that. I try and do everything during the weekend and I'm like exhausted on Monday. And then I have to go bowling to boot. And, you know, it's like you want to go back to work to relax.
Being on vacation, and then you come home for vacation, so I can't go back to work just so I can relax. Everybody go.
I'm here, making the turn by Big Barry Salt Mine.
Nima?
He must be on a phony call. Anyway, I saw that letter you posted from the Colonel.
There he is. Colonel Potter.
In the Ishii zone.
Oh, yeah, you're itchy and scratchy, but yeah, I saw that letter and I went, yeah, let me share the letter a little bit.
Have you been getting communications from the private?
I've been getting
private communications. Actually, he's been using Facebook Messenger to send me some stuff, like requests of things in his care package, which we mailed two of them out on Saturday. Interestingly enough, you have to fill out all sorts of customs declarations for the packages going over there. And I used an unfortunate catchphrase on one of them, and I'm hoping that it's probably going to wind up getting opened and inspected, but there's nothing I can do about it now. You're not supposed to use the word toiletries.
Yeah, because there may be blades and everything else in there.
There's a new rechargeable wet-dry electric razor, and some mouthwash, chapstick, whitening strips, you know, stuff like that.
Did he request baby wipes?
He hasn't answered my request on that, whether he wants those, but here's an interesting one. Sheets. Bed sheets. Apparently, everybody wants bed sheets for their cots because they don't want to sleep, I guess, on whatever the bed linens are that are there or not there.
They got him some cool bed sheets, like Assassin's Creed or something like that.
Yes, his mother-in-law is sending him stuff. So, we'll find out. I may wind up seeing if I could find a set of SpongeBob SquarePants bed sheets or something, and I'll send those to him, because you do want to send the most obscure and the most horrific bed sheets you could find. This way nobody steals them on you.
Now look, I might have some SpongeBob ones I could give you. You know, that'll be pretty funny. They're like new, so I might have some SpongeBob ones.
Tell you what, if you've got them, I think he needs regular full or twin, whatever, normal bed size, single bed. I think it's full. I'll just give you his address, and you can just toss them in a flat rate box, and I'll give you back the money for the shipping, that's all.
Yeah, I'll find out which ones I got. I think, because I don't think the little guy uses the SpongeBob anymore. So I'll see what's available. We might have had a quilt or whatever, and we could stuff it in a box. I just bought my oven on the Assassin's Creed bed sheets. So that was kind of cool, though, because Assassin's Creed is like a mean kind of guy. So I figured over there it would work.
I'm not familiar with the game. Is Assassin's Creed have anything to do with swarthy Middle Eastern types of people? Enter the inn in Brooklyn.
No, I'm not familiar with the game either. I just know he's a guy that has like knives and around his wrists, and he cuts people up and does all kinds of crazy stuff. I just saw my son playing it. I don't exactly know where it's supposed to be, where he's playing it. But it is funny, so the bed sheet is like this guy who's like a killer guy.
I'm parking in front of Long Charles Sally's house. A lot of parking today, which means a lot of banger-inners.
W2SC T-Mobile, good morning.
Halloween, Pete. Stevie, maybe you could pilfer some bed sheets and stuff from the hospital laundry and ship them out in a bio-waste bag or something. Pete, take a turn and you give it to Greg.
Hey, Rich, good morning. Steve-O and